something so seemingly insignificant could spread so quickly and devour me. Sin, left undealt with, it will destroy anything that is good in your life. Well, hey girls, and welcome back to another episode of Braveheart Talks. It's great to have you here with me. I'm Emma Bryant, and I want to just remind you that it is only a few short weeks away till Christmas, and at Christmas, the early bird rate closes for conference tickets. So hey, why not consider purchasing a ticket for a friend, for a sister, for a family member, for someone in your world, and bless them with a conference ticket, because we don't want you or anyone else to miss out. Well, in this podcast, I want to ask you the question, have you ever found yourself living life in a way that you dislike? Almost like you've become a way that you never intended to be, or perhaps it's because of the circles that you've moved in, or the company that you keep, or because of the influences that were surrounding you when you were growing up. It's the way you think, act, or speak. It's a way you don't want to be. Well, I want to talk into that a little bit in this podcast and show you how it is possible for you to change the trajectory of your life. I want to base this talk around a scripture that is found in Luke 17, 11 to 13. And it reads like this. As he continued towards Jerusalem, he being Jesus, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. They stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." These 10 leprous men were living together because they had a common denominator. They found community in their pain, in their dysfunction. They didn't choose to be in each other's company, but their condition meant their company chose them. Isn't it funny how life conditions us to stay with those who we are most like? Sometimes it's because we're comfortable in the company of familiarity. So your company becomes my complacency. Then there are those who have ended up running in a lane in life that was not your choosing, but simply by the nature of what you've been exposed to in your life, or because of your life placement, or maybe your upbringing or your education, those you ran with who became your friends put limitations on you by labeling you and naming you, and you end up stuck in a way of life that you did not choose for you. What we know about leprosy at this particular time in the Bible is it was this deadly skin disease. It ate away at your flesh, and leprosy was a slow and painful process leading up to the loss of limbs and eventually death. And those who were contaminated with it were put outside of the community and were labeled as unclean. I mean, families were literally separated by this monster of a disease. At this point in history, there was minimal medical knowledge, which presented another huge problem because it was the inability to be able to test or diagnose with accuracy, so that anyone with any skin condition, anyone who broke out in sores or spots, even if you had chicken pox, they didn't have a name for that. They would just label you as a leper and they would put you into the leper's colony, so that even if you had a small problem such as psoriasis, you too would be labeled as unclean and put in the company of those with the most deadliest disease. And now what's on them gets on you. Leprosy is not a common word that we would hear these days. Yet the human race still fights against a disease of the flesh that separates us and isolates us. It's a disease that does lead to a certain death, and it may not present by destroying our physical bodies, but this disease is a killer, and it's called sin. It damages you from the inside out. It strips your confidence, it destroys your self-worth, it corrupts you and defiles you. And when it really gets a hold of you, there is a stench that comes out of you because dishonesty replaces honesty and your mouth speaks lies instead of truth. And you know, just like leprosy would start off as a small spot, maybe on the back of your hand or on your arm, so too does sin start off small. You don't think it's anything to be bothered about. Sin has a very insignificant beginning. You know, it was just a bit of flirting in the office. It was just messaging back and forth. It seemed harmless to me. I never thought about it being an affair. I didn't think about my kids or the trouble it would cause. I never imagined something so seemingly insignificant could spread so quickly and devour me. Sin is a flesh-eating disease, and left undealt with, it will destroy anything that is good in your life. Addiction, unforgiveness, lust, gossip, envy, pride, they grow in you and they will eventually destroy you. So as we track through this story about these 10 isolated men, we can easily draw parallels between their skin disease and our sin disease. When leprosy was identified on you, you were put outside of the city, outside of the community, so that what was on you could not get on others, because you become like those you are in close contact with. And that truth still stands today. There was a reason your parents were concerned about you as a child when you wanted to hang out with certain kids, and they understood that what gets around you gets on you, and what gets on you determines the future of you, and what you give proximity to, you give permission to. If a leper should see someone walking down the road towards him, he would have to shout out these words. He would have to shout, "Unclean, unclean," so that those who were about to pass by would know I'm contagious with the disease. I mean, can you imagine putting that into today's context? Imagine your sin being exposed, and whenever you were around people, you had to call out what the sin issue was. It may not be unclean, unclean, but imagine your sin being made audible. What if you had to shout, "Shameful, shameful," or "Regret, regret," "Lost, lost," "Broken, broken"? We might not be shouting about our dysfunction today, but what we don't talk about audibly, we do wear evidently. Guilty people, lost people, broken people, it becomes visible on your life. And just like those who would cross over the road to avoid the lepers so as not to be contaminated by them, so too some of you have experienced the same. People who ignore you, friends who walk past you, those who no longer acknowledge you simply because they don't know how to handle the indifferences you've now gone through. The divorce, the sickness, the difficult child, the redundancy. It's easier to avoid you than to get into a complicated conversation with you. But in this text, we see that Jesus is walking towards the city. Jesus doesn't just pass by the 10 lepers. He walks towards the 10 lepers. They're on the side of the road. He probably heard them before he saw them. They were chanting, "Unclean, unclean." But the most beautiful thing about this is that Jesus is always moved towards the pain and the problem. The very people others wanted to avoid, Jesus puts himself up close and personal with. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, the thieves, the begging men, and now these leprous men. These men recognized Jesus because they'd heard of him doing miracles, and they begin calling out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The word mercy, it means to show compassion or act towards me in an undeserved way of kindness. But this is what I want you to notice. Notice how when they were in the company of Jesus, what they were shouting changed. At some point, you've got to decide, I'm not going to talk about my problem anymore. I'm not going to use my voice to talk about my circumstances. I'm not verbalizing my condition or my situation. I'm not going to waste any more of my breath talking about the thing that is destroying me, but I'm going to use the breath that I do have to call out to the one who can help me. Jesus, Jesus, have pity on me. I know I don't deserve it. I've done nothing to earn it, but I'm so desperate for it. And Jesus responded to them according to the words of their mouth. You know, next week, we're going to look at how Jesus responds to your words as we continue with this story. And in part two of this podcast, we're going to ask ourselves the question, am I shouting about my situation or am I shouting to my Savior?